That would be wonderful. So we get wet, so what? Big deal. But that would be lovely. And the Lord knows all about that. I just want to acknowledge a number of people here. I won't start naming names because I will surely leave somebody out. But my wife and I, we worked at the Upper Room Mission for quite a few years. And there's a number of you here that were serving with us. And I just want to thank you for that. And I thank you for your faithfulness in helping us when we needed it. And without the wonderful volunteers we had, we would have never made it. So thank you. Renata, especially, I remember you were Saturday, you and Arnold were there in the store. We knew it would be well taken care of. So thank you to each and one of you who helped us in that. We really appreciate that. You know, we've come through a pretty tough time, a year and a half, and I am not going to dwell on that. But I do want us to remember this, that our God is sovereign. Our God is in heaven. He is on the throne. And I want us also to remind you, always be thankful, because we have so many blessings, so many things for which we can be thankful. I know there are people who are afraid of the future or what's ahead, but I trust that the words I have to share today, that it will give us hope and that it will alleviate some of the fears that some of us may have about things that are happening. Now, I'm not going to read a whole scripture, but kind of loosely based on 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the last verse 13. And I'm going to have more stories today than I usually do when I speak, actually a lot more, but I read them and I thought, well, how appropriate, just to illustrate a point. And if you don't remember much what else I say, I think you'll remember some of the stories. And the purpose of this is so that that will encourage you to just trust in God and hope in Him. So I want to share about three things that we cannot do without, that we need. And those three are faith, hope, and love. 1 Corinthians 13, the last verse says, three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. First of all, we cannot do without faith. It is so necessary in our everyday walk. You know, I read about a little African impala. It's actually a gazelle. It's not very big. It's quite small. But I'm told that it can leap over a 10-foot fence, and that's about the height of these microphones here, and it can go 30 feet. But you know, the interesting thing is when you put it in a zoo, you can keep it in a 3-foot enclosure. It will not jump over. And the reason being, because it cannot see where its feet are going to land. And you know, faith is going on as it were over the fence, because God knows what's on the other side. We don't. Faith is the ability to see by faith what we cannot see with our physical eyes. We don't know what's ahead, and yet we can trust our Heavenly Father. I want to read a story about missionaries in Africa, a story from the life of missionaries Robert and Mary Muffet. For 10 years, this couple faithfully labored in Botswana without one ray of encouragement to brighten their day. They could not report a single convert. 10 years they had labored and witnessed. Finally, directors of the mission board began to question the wisdom of continuing the work. The thought of leaving their post, however, brought great grief to this devoted couple, for they felt sure that God was in on their labors, and that they would see people come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So they stayed, and for 2 more years, nothing happened. Then one day, a letter arrived from England. The sender wanted to know what they could mail them as a gift. And this couple said, well, send us a communion set. We're going to need it very, very shortly. I know we're going to need it. And God honored that faith. And by their faith in God, God moved among the people. And it wasn't long before there was a small but very committed group of believers. Well, the communion set from England was delayed. It didn't come. But in faith, the couple, they scheduled, this is the day we're going to have our first communion. We believe that the set will be here. It was very important to them. Even though it was a little, you know, the day before they were to have communion, the communion set arrived. And they served communion. As long as we have faith in God, all will be well. Our faith is not in whether a good vaccine will be developed that'll take care of all the COVID. That's not where our faith is. Faith isn't in our government. Faith isn't a lot of other, but our faith should be in God, because in Him we can trust. He will not be moved. In fact, the Bible says that without faith it is impossible to please Him. Hebrews 11:6 says, it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. Without faith, you can't even please God. He sees and knows all things, and He responds accordingly. Seldom does faith come from looking around. Not in our world, that's for sure. If you look around hard enough and dwell on it, we're going to be discouraged. But if we keep our eyes on God, we will be encouraged. Foundations that we thought were so stable are suddenly collapsing. Psalm 11, verse 3 says, when the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, here's what the righteous do. When the foundations crumble, the righteous put their faith in a living God. Faith comes from the unshakable confidence in God and faith in Him. And we cannot do without faith. And the second thing we cannot do without is hope. Again, I found a couple of very interesting stories. Major Harold Kushner was a prisoner in Vietnam for 5 years. It was horrible conditions. Kushner describes one of his fellow American prisoners. He was a tough Marine, a 24-year-old. And this 24-year-old Marine had made a deal with his captors. They said, if you do everything we tell you, we're going to release you. The Marine agreed to cooperate with the enemy. In return, the commander of the prison promised that he would be released. The young Marine did whatever was asked of him. He became a model prisoner. Even was part of the re-education program. In other words, brainwashed prisoners that, oh, communism is good, you know, everything's going to be great, just trust your captors. Even became a part of that group because he thought he would be released. But then as time went on, he found out that the commander had lied to him, that he wouldn't be released. And so Major Kushner describes what happened next. He says, when the full realization of this took hold, he became a zombie. He refused to do any of the work, and he rejected all offers of food and encouragement. He simply lay on his cot. In a matter of weeks, he was dead. Well, the colonel had to make a report of what happened to this robust Marine. And on the death certificate, he said, this Marine died of hopelessness. Because he had no hope. He just gave up, and within a couple of weeks, he was dead. Then there's Johnny Erickson. I think you all know about her, the gal that, when she was 17 years old, broke her neck in a diving accident. That's a lot of years ago now. And it left her paralyzed from the waist down. I think she has very limited use of her hands, but very limited. Here's her story in her own words. For almost 3 weeks, I was forced to lie face down in what's called a striker frame, a long, flat canvas sandwich where they put you face up for 3 hours, and then they strap another piece of canvas on the back of you, then they flip you over, you're facing down, you're looking at the floor. Trapped face down, staring at the floor hour after hour, my thoughts grew dark and hopeless. All I could think of was, God, way to go. I'm a brand new Christian. This is how you treat your new followers? I'm young in the faith. I prayed for a closer walk with you. If this is the idea of an answered prayer, she said, I will never trust you, God, with another prayer as long as I live. I can't believe that I have to lay down face down. Nothing to do but count the tiles on the floor and lay on this stupid torture rack. I hate my existence. I asked the hospital staff to turn out all the lights, close the blind, close the door, and if anybody came in, whether it was a visitor, parent, nurse, I just grunted because I was so angry. I was so discouraged. I justified it all. I rationalized that God wouldn't mind if I would be bitter. After all, I was paralyzed. I didn't care how much joy was set before me. This is one cross I was not going to bear without a battle. And then she continues. She says, my thoughts got darker and darker. They became a raging torrent. In the middle of the night, I would imagine God holding my sin up before my face and saying lovingly but firmly, Johnny, what are you going to do about this? What are you going to do? Are you going to do about this attitude of yours? It is wrong. This sin is wrong. God said to me, get rid of it. I preferred my peevish, snide, small-minded, mean-spirited comments, grunting at people when they walked in and out, and letting food drool out of my face, out of my mouth. Those were sins that I had made my very own. And then I broke. I said to God, I can't do this. I can't live this way. I would rather die than face life like this. Help me. That was my simple prayer. I just prayed, Lord, help me. That week, a friend came by to see me in the hospital while I was laying face down counting the tiles. She put a Bible on a little stool in front of me and stuck my mouth stick in my mouth so that I could flip the pages of the Bible. And my friend told me to turn to Psalm 18. There I read, in my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God I cried for help. From his temple he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. Then she says, God raised me out of my hopelessness. I knew that he would take it from here. Well, you know, today, Johnny is 71, hard to believe. She's been paralyzed for 54 years. She's still a vibrant follower of Jesus Christ. And she's encouraged so many people. A couple of years ago, she had cancer. And I understand that is in remission now. She's been cured of it. Just before Christmas, she got COVID-19. And I understand from that she has recovered too. And the last I heard, she's still rejoicing and encouraging others. Here's a little paragraph I found that I want to pass on to you. The Christian hope is not hope in the human spirit, because people will disappoint us. It's not in human goodness. It's not in human endurance. It's not in human achievement. The Christian hope is hope in the power of God. You know, the way we use the word hope is quite different from how the Bible uses it. We kind of think of it as, well, wishful thinking. I kind of like that to happen, but I don't know for sure if it will. But when the Bible uses hope, it is entirely different. It is a sure thing in all the universe. You can count on it. That's the Bible, the way it portrays hope. It is very definite. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19 says, if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. If our hope in Christ is for this life only, what a miserable existence. You know, just about every night when Susan and I lay down, we think of this, well, we're another day closer to glory. Don't know how much longer, but we're getting closer. Every day we're getting closer. And that gives us hope. That gives us encouragement. 1 Timothy 2, 13 and 14 says, we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our God, great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. He gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, and to make us his very own people. This hope is solid. You can count on it. It is a sure thing. It will not disappoint us. It will help us. This hope is as solid as God himself. And as I mentioned before, without hope, we can't survive. And I've been told that a large population, I don't know what the percentage is, I can't remember, but a large number of people that are in the hospital today are there because they have lost hope, because they are discouraged, because they have nothing to look forward to. And we are to be different. Our hope is in God and in him alone, because everything else will disappoint us. You know, the last few months I've been reading, we both read a lot. And I've been reading a couple of books about the Nazi concentration camps, how horrible it was. And of course, the idea was for the captors to instill hopelessness in their prisoners, because then they knew they would die very shortly. And I read about one rabbi, a Jewish guy, Rabbi Hugo Gern, used to tell of his experiences in Auschwitz as a boy. He says, food supplies were meager, and inmates took great care to preserve every scrap of food that came their way. And then he says, when the festival of Hanukkah arrived, Hugo's father took a lump of margarine, and to the horror of young Hugo, used it as fuel for the light to be lit at the festival. And he says, when I asked him why, He said, my father replied, we know it is possible to live without food for 3 weeks, but without hope, it is impossible to live even for 3 minutes. Let that sink in. We need hope desperately. And we need to hope in our God. Then the third thing we cannot do without is love. You know, we hear so much about love today, and whether you watch TV or not, or hear it on TV, or read it in a paper, whatever. But we hear so much of it. And I wonder how many people really know what it really is. What is real love? It is so misunderstood and abused in our day. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Love is to be our identifying mark. Jesus said, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Love for one another will prove to the world you are my disciples. Not going to church, not giving to charity. He says, love for one another. Susan and I watched a Christian documentary last night. It was called Pertitua. She's a young lady who lived about 1,800 years ago when the Romans were in power. And she was just a young woman. I think she was in her early 20s. She was imprisoned, and the Romans sentenced her to death. But what I found interesting in this documentary was how these Christians, how they loved one another. It was amazing to see. And then, of course, their captors, they took note. Wow, these people, they aren't bitter toward each other. They love each other. And it had a great influence. And eventually, of course, she was put to death, but she left a lasting legacy. We watched it on an app that's called, maybe some of you have it, Redeem TV. You can get it on your phone or tablet. I'm not sure a computer or not. Maybe if you go to Redeem TV, maybe it'll come up. But they got tons of Christian movies and documentaries. Some are good, some, yeah. I think you'll be encouraged. We've been watching a lot of them. Kind of, we have an unspoken thing that Saturday night is Christian viewing at our house. So, and we saw that last night. So Jesus says, love one another. 13 times in the Bible it says, love one another. 13 times. The Apostle John uses it 7 times. He uses it more than any of all the other writers put together. And he knew the impact of this. Love one another. And then the world will stand up. It will take notice. So here's what I want us to take with us this morning. Psalm 18, verse 2 says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my Savior. My God is my rock, in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. So are our foundations being shaken? You want to believe they are, from every corner. The Christian faith is assaulted worldwide. It is made of something, oh, that's just for weak people. Economically, it's being shaken. Health-wise, it's being shaken. I could name all kinds of areas. Our foundation is crumbling. So what can we do? Put our hope in God, because he will not be moved. Here's stability. And then the second thing I want us to take with us is Hebrews 6:19 says, This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. An anchor that's sure. You know, I had sometimes read or heard about sea anchors. I didn't have a clue what they were. So I did a little research, and what it is really quite unique. It's almost like a parachute. It's not made of iron, like a big anchor that hooks onto a rock. It's like a parachute that drops in the water, and it kind of keeps the ship from moving forward. So if you're in a storm, if the ship wants to drive, or the storm wants to drive the ship, this sea anchor, it keeps it back. And I understand it was even used in Roman times. They had a way of doing that. And I thought it was a pretty unique concept. So this is our hope. Jesus is our anchor, and it cannot be moved. It is firm. Then the last thing I want us to remember is Jeremiah 31:3 says, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. What is that? Well, I know on paper what it means, but for me to grasp it, that's beyond me. That means as far back in eternity, all eternity, God loved us. I can't fathom that. And then it says, everlasting love. What about the other direction? After I'm home, we're home with the Lord. Forever and ever and ever. And again, my mind, I can't conceive that something will have no end. Because everything on this earth will have an end. In a few hours I'll do that and that. You'll kind of like your life is planned and then there's tomorrow. But it will come to an end. But he says, this love, it is everlasting. It has no end. Praise the Lord. Everlasting love. This is far beyond our comprehension. So let's rest in this hope and rejoice in the blessings that we have in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Would you join with me in prayer? Our loving Father, we thank you for your word today. It is a Bible that tells us about you, tells us about your love, how you are our hope. You will never disappoint us. You will never let us down. So, Father, I pray that there are people here who have concerns about some uncertainties. It could be all kinds of things, health, economically, whatever. I just pray that we would put our hope in you, because you are stable. You are our anchor. That anchor will keep us secure. It will not be moved. And then, Lord, we thank you so much for this everlasting love. It's way beyond our comprehension. But I believe it without understanding it. And I believe that we as your people, your children, will be with you for all eternity. And our joy, our bliss. And by the way, we're going to get new bodies. No aches, no pains, no shortcomings. Perfect. And that will go on for all eternity. Thank you, Father, for this. So I just pray that you would encourage us this morning. May we just leave rejoicing and praising your name and put our hope in the everlasting God. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to read a verse before the last song is sung, and call it a benediction. Romans 15:13. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Can you say aloud amen with me?
Amen.
Amen.